I'm Kev Jackson, and this is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Find your great moments in Bemidji. And by Northview Bank, helping you find your piece of paradise in Paul Bunyan Country.
This is Eric Osberg of Otter Tail Country, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Well, we are checking in with Mandy Urich, our good friend from down in the Brainerd Lakes area. How's it going, Mandy?
Well, besides the fact I'm looking out the window at about 20-plus inches of snow.
Yes, our biggest snowfall of the year came right in time for Easter.
I know. And you know what I'm going to say. I can't complain. We've been nervous about moisture levels and wildfires. And, you know, yes, it was great to have, you know, basically February and March that were snow-free and lakes that were ice-free. And we're thinking we're going to get, you know, an extra couple months of open water and prep for turkey hunting and all things good spring. And yeah, Minnesota Mother Nature said, ha ha.
Yeah, it tends to do that. Mother Nature is famous for doing that, isn't she?
Oh, it's a bit depressing. The sun's out right now. I can see it's somewhat starting to melt, but yeah, this has got to be the most snow, I mean, honestly, that we've had all winter long.
Oh yeah, no question. No question. Wow. So that's going to give you the moisture, and you're right. We do need it. We need it up here. You needed it way more than we did. So, and even south of you, they needed even more than you did.
Correct.
So we can't, you're right, we can't complain, even though it is frustrating. We might have snow when turkey season arrives. I didn't think we were going to, but it might happen.
We're counting down the days. The 17th is going to be here before we know it.
Yep. That's right. And here we go. So you're set. You got your license. You're ready to go?
I haven't got my license, but I am ready. Everything is already out. Trust me. I spring fever hit me hard and started rifling through everything, and it's there. Just patiently waiting right now.
So why is turkey season set drive people crazy? People love it. They get excited, almost like walleye opener. Is it because it's spring? Is that what it is?
I think a lot of it does have to do with the fact that we've been cooped up all winter long. Everything's starting to turn green. The snow hopefully is gone by that time. We basically ended our year in deer hunting, right? And then you get to start your year off with turkey hunting. But, you know, some of it is too. It's the excitement. I mean, there's nothing better in the world than hearing that gobble or getting them to chirp back at you. Mm-hmm. You know, it sends all the hair on your body just at end, and you just get excited.
When did you start turkey hunting?
2007.
Okay.
2007 would have been, or 2000, yeah, it's 6 or 7. And actually my very first turkey hunt was in South Carolina. And that's honestly what hooked me. One, everything was green and in bloom. And when I got done killing my turkey, I got to go fishing. So it was just one of those instant epic things from start to finish, and I was hooked ever since.
And for a lot of people up here, it's a fairly new phenomenon, but the population has exploded. We have the seasons here now. People are really getting into it, and it's still kind of a new thing for a lot of people up here.
And that's crazy. I look at how much our population has exploded, so I don't want to horrifically age myself, but I'll throw it out there. I've been working for the state of Minnesota for 23 years now. Mm-hmm. I can remember when I first started in 2001, I was working down in the Dealey Research Center, and we were helping translocate turkeys still from other states into Minnesota to grow the population. So look in that short time span. Yeah, it sounds like, oh my gosh, 23 years is a long time, but it's not. They're everywhere. They're prolific everywhere. So it's pretty amazing to see, you know, a few transplanted birds grow into, you know, the huge population that we have today.
Right. And it just goes to show they're a lot hardier than we thought. A lot of people didn't think they'd be able to handle all the snow and the cold up here, but obviously not a problem.
Correct. And if you talk to our now current state depredation biologist, the number of turkey complaints, specifically in the wintertime around stored forage, and they when they group up, and I'm not talking groups of like, 10 or 15, we're talking like 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I can go back to 2013, 2014 when I was in that position and getting my first turkey call. And I kind of giggled because the guy was telling me that he had 100 turkeys at his place. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll come out and look. He had 100 turkeys. It was just amazing. I pulled in the yard and I was thinking, what is going on here? And as I got closer, sure enough, he had old wire-wrapped corn bins. So they weren't full metal. They were just wrapped, with wire. Corn cribs, and they were just going crazy around these corn cribs. And here again, there was, a lot of snow, this, that, and whatever. But yeah, that was my first realization of even up north, there's a lot of turkeys. And that was 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, from a taste standpoint, do they taste better?
I think it's all about anything, how you cook wild game, honestly, and how sensitive people are to having a gamey versus a non-gamey taste. And there again, even with deer, it can be where they're located in the state and what they're eating on to, how you prepare that meat. I always err on the safe side with wild turkey. It's I either smoke it or I inject it with a whole bunch of good stuff. So I've never had any issues with wild game taste.
Well, yeah, there's that's always the tough one, and people can figure it out, certainly, and I'm sure you have. So do you do a wild turkey for Thanksgiving?
I haven't for a while. It's been quite a while. I would say all of 5 or 6 years, whenever the last time I was in South Carolina, just for the simple fact that I think you're leading into this just so I say it out loud so you can keep rubbing me. I haven't shot one in the state of Minnesota yet. I have been all over and shot turkeys all over, except right here in my home state. I have guided for people that have shot turkeys in this state, and I have yet to shoot one myself. So,
wow.
But when I finally get one, which each year I keep saying it's going to happen, then yes, my first Minnesota turkey, I will make the point that it will be served at Thanksgiving.
Okay. I can't wait to hear the story of when that happens.
I keep saying every year you've got to keep getting a little bit better, right? But this whole Mandy's Murphy Law thing, like if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. It's comical to a point, but now it's just become an annoyance. So it just makes me want to hunt that much harder to be able to do it. Yeah. But like I said, I've been pretty adamant about I really want to shoot a turkey on my own property. It's just,
okay.
For me, that's where I'm at. But gosh forbid, I'm at that breaking point. I might break down.
Okay. Last time we talked, you barely had a chance to do any ice fishing because the ice was terrible. Did you ever get any decent ice fishing in?
I hit it as hard as I could for the last week or so, and then I called it. When that snow disappeared off the ice, obviously she started to go pretty quick here. So yeah, I basically got like 4 or 5 days of AKA late ice, but it was super early ice out fishing, and then it was gone.
Okay, well. So, do you ever go eel pouting?
Yes, and that is one of my favorite species to ice fish for, and I always looked forward for this time of the year. So normally starting beginning of March until, almost complete ice out, especially in the Brainerd Lakes area, is a great time to catch eel pout because they're in spawn. Got it dialed in. I love to catch them. Yeah, they're slimy. Yes, they leave a mess all over me, but boy, do they tug hard. And obviously we had no ice. Like, our ice was gone here during prime time pout fishing, and I was getting super excited. I'm like, I'm going to be able to fish these out of the boat. Like, how crazy would that be to be able to go fish these fish out of the boat? And then basically this weather happens. We got super high winds, and then whatever ice was unfortunately left kind of piled up on some pretty key spots. So they were inaccessible by the boat, and then we got this winter storm. So I'm not going to get to eel boat fish at all this year.
Oh, well, that bites.
No.
Did you get any warm weather fishing in this winter?
No, because I've been called to do my civic duty. So all of my plans, which everybody who ever listens to this knows that, you know, my end of March and all of April is my time to travel. You know, I'm down to Florida for tarpon fishing. I'm hitting as much as I can open water where it's warm before coming back here. And it just is what it is, and got called for jury duty. So just playing that time out. So I don't know what to do. Well, I guess I just stick that travel money back in the kitty, and I'll have to take it off even longer for next spring.
Okay. There you go. You could go all over the world maybe by the time next year rolls
around. I don't know. I'm thinking, I keep saying it, I think I might have to pull the trigger and do my Costa Rica trip. February is actually a phenomenal time in Costa Rica for large tarpon, and obviously there's a plethora of other amazing fish to fish there, but I might have to scrap the southern U.S. trip and just pull the trigger and do tarpon the right way.
Okay. All right.
Hi, this is Joel Nelson of Joel Nelson Outdoors. We just call him Kev's son because he doesn't know jack. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Mark Harmon of Northview Bank is back again. Northview Bank serves you in many locations across Paul Bunyan Country. And Mark, the great thing about you as somebody at Northview Bank, you've lived the experience of moving up here and making it happen. Yeah. And now you are in a position to help other people make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, whether you're looking for hunting land or looking for a lake lot or other pieces of property where you can start establishing and creating your memories. I mean, we only get one run at this earth, right? And so if you're not spending a fair amount of your time creating those memories and leaving a legacy, I wish you do, because I value every bit of that I've been able to do as well. But being able to help people accomplish their dreams, that's fun. You know, that's fun for me. Getting a mortgage, that's not fun, right? But I can make that process good. We'll start with a phone call, start with an application. Where do you work? How long have you been there? How much do you make, etc.? Get a pre-qualification letter, and we'll turn you out to the realtors to start finding that piece of property that you find yourself in. Let me take care of that stress. Let me take care of the worry and everything else. Communication's key. I'll make sure that you're up to speed on everything, and we'll get stuff done.
He's Mark Harmon of Northview Bank, the guy that helps you make your Paul Bunyan Country dreams come true. Northview Bank has many convenient locations. Northview Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Find out more at northviewbank.com. Cast a line this summer and catch great moments when you discover the first city on the Mississippi.
Bemidji, with over 400 lakes within a 25-mile radius, creates a premier destination for all anglers.
With an abundance of multi-species available, you'll catch bigger fish and create better stories to last a lifetime.
For more information, go to visitbemidji.com.
Great moments in Bemidji.
This is Mandy Ure, doing my part to keep Kev Jackson's ratings up on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Well, I mean, I know it got colder, and you know, things aren't great, but I'm assuming we're going to be able to get onto some soft water here much earlier than typical years.
Oh yeah. Another week or two, I think the snow for us is going to be gone. And I don't know about everybody else, but I actually just ran into a buddy, and we're giving each other grief. And he's like, "Did you get the boat out yet?" I said, "Did you get the boat out yet?" He's just like, "No." He's like, "I never winterized it." I said, "I didn't either." I said, "She's been ready to go all season long, sitting tucked away in the nice warm shop. So you can guarantee that when this is gone and she warms up a bit, I'll throw that ice gear on, snowsuit and snow boots, but my butt's going to be in the boat and I'm going to be on open water."
And what do you normally go for right away? Is it just the panfish, or do you go for some, you know, suckers? What do you do?
I like crappie fishing.
Okay.
I do.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. You know, it's it's fun, especially like super early when they're transitioning out of those deep basins into, I would say, shallower water, you know, anywhere from, you know, 11 to 14 feet. And I think especially this year, because we had such a lack of snow, there's going to be a ton of standing vegetation still. So it's going to be a hunt. It's going to be like a treasure hunt to figure out exactly where those fish are at, where, you know, previous years, it's been fairly easy to target them. So with all that standing veg, though, going to have to do some scouting before I find them, but it's always fun.
You ever do the rainy run?
Oh, yes. So, and that's part of me being, I laugh being all over the place in April, because I'm up there normally right when you can. Gotta do some catch and release walleye. But normally I'm on the airplane and I'm going to Florida. And then I go back because my absolute favorite fish in the entire world, and it's around my birthday, and I do it for my birthday trip every year, is sturgeon fishing. Mm-hmm. So I do not want to miss my sturgeon fishing trip. I mean, I missed it during COVID, but I think it's been probably 16 years straight, except for COVID, that I do my sturgeon trip for my birthday. So,
so we get ready for soft water. Have you seen, besides electronics, because we can always find new electronics to buy, besides electronics, is there any new stuff out there you're looking forward to trying out this year?
Oh, there always is. I mean, that's literally like what you sit and do, right? Especially this year, because we weren't doing, you know, you couldn't get out for the opportunities like we normally would for ice fishing. So what are you doing? You're perusing every hot new thing that there is through rods and reels and baits and plastics and this and that. And I'm getting really into some of these, I'd say, crossover baits that maybe were designed more applicably for saltwater, but using here on an application basis for big pike. So I don't want to say any brand names, but one, boy, are they expensive. Like, I've got boxes upon boxes upon boxes of musky baits. I know how expensive they are. But these caught my eye, and I said, I got to pull the trigger. But as any fisherman knows, you don't just order one of something, right? That's the whole problem. If you're going to go in, well, you got to get at least three colors and at least three different sizes of them.
Right.
Yeah. That's where I'm at right now. Okay. Surprisingly, I haven't even bothered to look at any bass baits, but I saw those and I'm chomping up a bit to get some big rods out and start casting those around.
What are you feeling based on, you know, last year's fishing, what you were able to get in the winter? What are the populations looking like for you? You think they look pretty good?
Yeah, honestly, our lakes, and I'm sure it's the same way in Bemidji as is Brainerd, we needed, our lakes needed the break, the fish needed the break. I think it's only going to help, to be honest. You know, they get beat up so bad, especially, you know, panfish and crappie all winter long. I think we're going to be good. The bite was, I thought, awesome all last year. Just about for everything. And, you know, our size, it doesn't seem to matter where you go. You have a chance at a lunker. I look at Gull Lake right now. I've caught more big walleyes than I have technical AK eater or keeper walleyes in the last 5 years in Brainerd Lakes area.
Wow.
Like, struggling. Like, if it was an opposite end derby, right, where you had to catch a 14 to 16 incher, I would lose. I would, and I, you can ask a lot of the walleye guys too, the same thing. Like, we're seeing a big number of big fish. So it with room to keep going, right? There's a really healthy age class of those, I would say 23 to 26 inch fish right now.
Okay. All right. Besides Gull, what are some of the lakes that are looking pretty good for the upcoming year?
I'm going back to the whole fact of I was on the water until almost November last year, and our lakes everywhere are so far down that accessing them just to get in and to get off that lakes is going to be the caveat, I think, here in the Brainerd Lakes area, unless we get a ton more moisture to bring those lake levels back up, I think we're going to have access issues across our whole area for what's actually going to be fishable. I mean, people with smaller boats, let's say 12 to 14 foot boats, aren't going to have a problem. But anybody who's running a larger rig, a 19 to 21 foot boat, is really going to struggle to be able to get in and out of these lakes. I mean, I live right next door to North Lawn Lake, and the 371 access was completely unusable, and the Bearfield Bay one, like I said, I've got a boat that drafts in inches of water, and I still had to get out of my boat to get it up on my bunk trailer. So,
okay,
we need rain. We need rain now. Rain can come and it can melt the snow, and we need more rain.
I hear you.
It needs to keep raining.
Okay. Well, before we wrap it up, you got time for a fast five?
Okay.
Here we go.
Fast five.
Get a starter.
Mandy Urick, fast five. Question number one. Do you have a bucket list place and species to fish before your time on this planet is over?
Absolutely.
What is it?
I just said it's Costa Rica.
I thought that might be what it was.
Yeah, it's Costa Rica. And everybody can laugh, but I always said that that's where I was going to spend my honeymoon. Well, I'm 42 and unmarried, so I guess I'm just taking that trip without having to be married first.
That's right. Just do it for yourself. I like it.
Yep.
What are you fishing for?
Tarpon.
Tarpon. Okay. Question number two. Do you have a bucket list place and species you want to hunt before you leave this planet?
Duh.
Don't tell me turkey in your backyard.
No, I got my sights aimed a little bit bigger. I would love to do a moose hunt up in northern Canada.
Oh, very cool. All right. Question number three. Who is your favorite Minnesota twin of all time?
Joe Mauer.
He could have added 150 and he'd have been your favorite twin of all time.
Yep.
All right. Question number four. If you weren't doing this, what you're doing, what you do, what would you be doing?
Oh, boy. I think you'd be a vet.
Oh, cool. Okay. A vet.
I always said when I was a little kid, and my parents were actually surprised, you know, when you're growing up and they ask you repeatedly what you want to be when you grow up, I always said that I was going to be a vet. So I don't know where along those lines I changed my mind, and being a wildlife and a habitat biologist is still cool, but boy, I think I could save a lot of money between, you know, the four dogs and the cat that I have, so I have to pay to bring them to the vet.
That's probably true. All right, here we go, the tough one. Question number five. Will the Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
Yes.
The eternal optimist.
It's the power of positivity.
Well.
You just got to keep believing, right? I mean, once you stop believing, it's over.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I'm not watching the Green Bay Packers.
No, nor am I. But I'm having a hard time being as optimistic as you. All right. Well, hey, next time we talk, maybe you'll be planning for a Thanksgiving dinner with a bird from your freezer that you caught or you killed in your yard.
That's what I'm hoping. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Mandy, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Paul Bunyan Country.